Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, fans and the pros. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. 2 hours in the books, two more hours to go. We're going to change gears as promised earlier. We knew we would be a little football heavy early on. Spend a lot of this hour talking basketball. Tulane men's basketball coach Ron Hunter will join us at 6:30. Right now we're talking LSU basketball, both men's and women's, with Jacques Doucette, WAFB Television in Baton Rouge. Jacques, my friend, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on your show.
So this has been quite a while. We've had both teams to have such strong starts, nationally ranked. You can begin wherever you like, but following the football season that kind of fizzled towards the end, basketball season must have been a nice kind of refreshing change.
Yeah, Mike, all the local restaurants and businesses certainly don't mind when there's 12,000, 13,000 people going in and out of the PMAC for men's basketball. You can see women's basketball on the rise. They got almost 6,000 last night. They had over 9,000 last week when number one South Carolina came into town. And to have both the men's and the women's ranked in the top 12 of the country, Will Wade has done a steady job, obviously, since he became the head coach, and Kim Mulkey, obviously took a program that was 9-18 a year ago and has them, rolling along right now with only two losses and doing a great job. So it's been real exciting. I think the game tomorrow, LSU and Arkansas men, they only had 500 tickets left yesterday, so that should be another sellout. And, the season's young. LSU, the men still have 14 SEC games left and another non-conference game. So, so far, so good.
Jock, that's what I was going to ask you, particularly on the men's side. We'll start there. Do you think this team has what it takes as far as overall talent to be able to compete on the top half or at least the top end of the SEC?
Yeah, Deuce, I think so. Certainly everyone knows where the Final Four is this year, and they're very motivated by that. And I'm not sure it's been in the back of their mind for a while. But, when they get Xavier Pinson back at point, I don't think he's going to play tomorrow against Arkansas, but LSU really dodged the bullet there when he went down with that knee injury. Anytime a guy grabs his knee and hits the deck, you fear the worst. But it looks like he'll be back. He does a great job running the point. He's got offense from the outside, great disher. And they're really strong in the paint as well. Certainly Tari Eason picking him up in the offseason from Cincinnati has been huge. And then you got a guy like Darius Days who can do it from the inside and from the outside. I think this is his best team that he's had, Coach Wade, since he got to LSU. I think his second year team where he unfortunately was suspended and didn't get a chance to coach him in the NCAA tournament, made the Sweet 16. That was a great team. With all the guys on that squad, but this is a powerful squad. Now they may take some lumps here and there. I don't know. I mean, next week, for example, you go to Alabama and to Tennessee, so it's a tough conference. But I think when March rolls around, this team's going to be very dangerous.
Yeah, think of that. I mean, 3 years ago, I don't know if we could say. Let's just go four years ago. Could we truly, honestly say that the SEC had a tough basketball conference? You remember the challenge that the commissioner kind of put out because there were so few teams getting chosen for the NCAA tournament that he put the challenge out, and I think the league has responded.
Yeah, Deuce, I mean, if you go back, I'm going back a ways now, but I remember when Trent Johnson, his first year, that was the 08-09 season. I think LSU won 25, 26, 27 games, won the SEC with a 14-2 record, and I think they got an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, there was just very little respect for the conference. So certainly in recent years, the competition has really improved. The facilities have improved. You know, over at Ole Miss, they've built that brand-new basketball facility where all the action and certainly some other teams are coming up. You look at a team like Florida. You know, Florida used to dominate the SEC in hoops for a period of time there at Billy Donovan, and they're kind of struggling. So yeah, I think Will Wade said in the offseason, Deuce, that, you're no longer trying to build a program. If you try to build a program, you get left in the dust. You're building a team on a year-by-year basis with the NIL and the transfer portal and all that. So that's just where it is right now.
No, I agree 100%. When you talk about NIL and transfer portal, I mean, it's the Kentucky model, except everybody can use the Kentucky model. It's just not one and done now. And then you have grad transfers that step in and, you know, maybe have a little more experience. And that's normally not the case in basketball, just because those guys in basketball, you know, if I stay for 4 years in basketball, then the NBA puts a knock on me, just because they draft off of potential. But shifting gears a little bit, Coach Kim and the job that she has been able to do with the Lady Tigers, are they overachieving? I mean, because you talked about the record that they had last year, and to look exactly where they are now, I mean, and I know it's transfers and different players, some, but are they overachieving at this point?
Yeah, I would think that they're ahead of schedule. I mean, I would think that they've got a little more hay in the barn than what they expected at this point. I mean, once again, to be 9-18 last year, they're 16-2 right now, 4-1 in the SEC. And look, Nikki Fargus did leave her some talented players. Kayla Pointer could be the SEC Player of the Year before it's all said and done. Faustina Fua, Jalen Cherry, they were all here, but Mulkey was able to get Alexis Morris to come in, and Hannah Gusters from Baylor. I love going to every Kim Mulkey press conference. I love going to every game and just listening to her talk and watching her coach. She's great with the media. She lets us come in and watch practice. She doesn't want us to shoot video or share the things we see, but we can go in and watch. And so it's great. I mean, and I covered the program when they went to 5 straight Final Fours with Sue Gunner and Pokey Chapman and then Van Chancellor. And they used to put between 6 and occasionally a sellout, 6,000 and a sellout in there. And the fans want to come, and they want to support that team. And, man, it's going to be exciting. They are way ahead of schedule with Kim Mulkey so far.
So the difference kind of being, if you're looking at the men's side, where the SEC is trying to kind of reinsert itself with some prominence, on the women's side, not the case. South Carolina's number 1, Tennessee's number 2, LSU's 12, Georgia's 17, Kentucky 19. It's a much different situation than the SEC on the women's side. It will be a huge battle from here on in.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, last night, Missouri, those girls can shoot. I mean, they made 15 three-pointers last night, and that's a team that's not even ranked, but was the one team that could beat number 1 South Carolina this year. So I know it's cliche to say it, but, man, it seems like there's so many teams in that league that can beat you if you don't show up. And I think that was most impressive real quick. Last week when LSU played South Carolina, they had this emotional game in front of 9,000 fans. They can't pull it out. They had a million reasons to come out flat at Auburn, where there's not many people there and they're supposed to win, and they just flattened Auburn and won the game by 30 points. And I think that's the kind of maturity that Kim Mulkey instills in the team. You know, kind of the Nick Saban thing where, not one game's bigger than the other. They all count the same, and we approach each game the same.
Flipping, sorry, we're going to flip back and forth on you, men's to women's, but I'm just kind of going through the men's team a little bit and looking how balanced things are. Like, top scores 15.5, and then 14-7, 10-9, 9-2, 8-9, 8-0. So your top 6 players scoring wise are between 8 and 15.5. So it's not one guy, so to speak. It really seems to be kind of a team oriented.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, they spread it around. It could be different people's nights. I mean, Darius Days came out like a house of fire. Then he kind of went to a slump, and some other people picked up the slack. But you know, I remember even being on a high school basketball team and being told, you know, offense comes and goes, but defense will always be there. And certainly this team believes in playing defense, and Cody Worsham, who does great work with LSU, is broken down with all these stats. Like, it could be, you know, one of the best defenses in modern college basketball history, the way they're playing defense and the way they get after it. And it's a kind of a peer pressure deal. When the guys start buying in and pressuring each other to play defense and get after it, as opposed to just, well, how many points did I score? And if I miss a shot, I'm going to dog it because I'm upset. That makes a big difference. And so that's the kind of stuff. Like for that Florida game last night, it looked pretty, but they grinded it out, played D, and got the win.
And their home, getting the PMAC back involved with basketball. I mean, you and I go way back, and I go way back even further than you do. But, I mean, there were times when that building was electric, and that's how I've heard it being described of late. And it's been a while since the PMAC has been described as electric, both men and women.
Yeah, you look at that week, I tell you what, Mike, I think I would have rather be at the LSU-Kentucky basketball game than that Texas Bowl that night, but that was the trade-off.
Yeah.
That game. But yeah, you take a look at that week, for example, where you beat Kentucky, you've got the Dale Brown court, you sell out the building. Those final 40 seconds were real frantic as LSU scored a couple of buckets and won the game. And then you got the Tennessee game where it's sold out again, and LSU just really blew them out. And so, yeah, that was always kind of a thing that was frustrating for me at times, where it was like, you know, people weren't showing up for games, and you hear, well, it's a football town. Well, football's over. What are we going to do now? You know, so let's go to the PMAC and support the team. So Will Wade, despite some of the national hits he's taken and some of that off-the-court stuff, the fans absolutely love him. They love the General Wade campaign he's doing and all the different promotions they're doing. And so, yeah, it's a great thing right now. LSU's got going the PMAC. And then you throw in gymnastics. They always pack the house, too. So that building's getting a lot of work, and, the local businesses love it.
Well, they have Arkansas tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Then it's at Alabama, at Tennessee for the men, women as well. Hope just kind of keep it going, man. It's fun to have it back in prominence, have it back on the front of the sports page, and we appreciate your time. Hope everything is well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and then baseball and softball.
Holy cow. Right, slow down. That. Slow down there, son.
It's coming.
No, you're right. Spring, and by the time you hit back to school, it's everything's upon you almost at once. So it's good times.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on your show. Great talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Jacques. Jacques Doucette. If you call me sir one more time, we're going to have a problem. But all right. We go way back. It's good. It's cool. It's all good. Jacques Doucette, WAFB Television up in Baton Rouge. Does a great job, and good job covering all the sports there at WAFB. Going to step aside here on Fans and Pros. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.